AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you. Matt and Patrick here today. Patrick, first of all, I've got to mention the story you mentioned that Trump was talking about Hunter Biden and stuff and trying to imply that there's some sort of kind of grand conspiracy that they've got the hard drives, they got the proof, right? You heard that story in the news there? Right before the story, the other story you mentioned, which was the California wildfire. How about that? A state desperately needs help because of wildfires, a national disaster, one of the base functions of a federal government, and Trump has refused to even give him any help. I mean, it's just unbelievable. The story about Hunter Biden, which is the reason why basically everyone has put this story aside, is because it's clearly been planted. And this is indeed desperately the Trump campaign's October surprise. They were going to try to release this, but it came out that the federal government was the intelligence agencies were warning that the Russian oligarchs were trying to infiltrate Rudy Giuliani to get to Trump, and that's where this story came from. If you haven't heard the story, just all you need to know about this so-called scandal. Oh my God! So the way that they're putting it out is that Hunter Biden apparently dropped off a computer hard drive at a computer repair shop in Delaware, never picked it up, and when the computer shop owner, who's a lifelong Republican, found out whose it was, he made a copy of the hard drive once it became his, I guess, through, law. I'm not sure exactly how that happens, but made a copy of it and gave it to Rudy Giuliani, which is where all the leaked material comes from. The funny thing is that the entire pretense of the entire scandal is ludicrous because they're saying it was about Hunter Biden. And it wasn't. They were actually the Ukrainians were investigating the Russian oligarchs' influences into things. But now it is hilarious. It's hilarious. All you need to do, focus on the Delaware computer shop guy, because his story has changed about 1,000 times already. I mean, seriously, it has changed a lot. First, it was, I guess it was Hunter Biden was drunk. Was he drunk coming in there? He was drunk and he dropped off a computer. Well, then it became three computers, and then he picked up two computers and left the one computer behind, but then he left the three computers behind, and it was in this, and there was a sticker that was, Biden Hunter, needless to say, none of that adds up. But then there's just the entire argument of that he had no idea it was Hunter Biden. And because there was at no point did he know it was Hunter Biden, but then he said, "Oh, it was Hunter Biden." That he was, and Hunter Biden introduced himself, so he knew it was Hunter Biden. And then he said, "Oh, I recognized it was Hunter Biden." It was, needless to say, this guy's story keeps changing, and it's just the guy that they found to be the patsy, who I imagine is getting very threatening phone calls from Republicans saying, "Don't you dare tell the truth," But needless to say, there's no story here. But this is what they've got. And I'll get to this. I got Matt's Math Corner coming up here in a little bit. I'll get to the reason why they're so desperate to try to find something here. Which does lead me to mention as well, we might have a debate party. We might. After last night, I don't know. Part of me thinks that the Republican establishment is probably abandoning him at this point. I don't know if there's too many people pushing him to have a debate. He needs to debate a legitimate debate to actually try to sell himself to the American people for a second term. The reality is that I think that he is so terrified of this that I don't know if it will happen. We're planning on it. Right now, the debate's happening. So we are planning on it. You should plan on it, too. We're going to be at the Dunsmore Room of Crooners coming up here next Thursday, 8 p.m. The door is open. You can get a ticket, social distancing, of course, face masks, all that good stuff. The ticket gets you a drink plus an admission in to watch the debate. We encourage you to stop by a little bit early, get some of the great food from Crooners. And as a matter of fact, stop on by tonight, pick up some food from Crooners. Grab some lunch for tomorrow, too. Crooners, fantastic food. They got it all to go as well. So stop on by Crooners. That's over on Highway 65, just north of 694 Moore Lake there in just the North Metro. So stop on in. But if you want to join us for this, stop in for dinner earlier. Then, of course, the ticket gets you, your $25 ticket gets you admission for the debate as well as a drink during the debate. And, yeah, it's going to be a hoot. And reminder, this has got not a lot of room in there because it's in the Dunmore Room as opposed to being outside. We have a fewer seats. So if you would like to get a ticket, you need to go am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. Join us for that. And, yeah, we're going to presume it's going to go. We're going to presume it's a go. No Democrat of the day today. I might even stop trying. I've never had to work so dang hard to try to help people with their campaigns. So we might be done with Democrat of the Day. Lindsey Port might be the last one because I don't think I'm going to even. It's a lot of work to basically have people say, "So you want to help me get donations and volunteers?" I don't know if I've got time. Really? Okay. All right. Fine. So I might be done with that. There. Just FYI. I'm also done with the people posting snow videos. Okay, great. Act like you've been here before. All right. Seriously. So a few flakes came undone. I'll take Sven Sundgaard, from the weather guy from Bring Me the News. I'll take that guy because he's the weather guy. So he has to do this. The fire and brimstone, hell on earth, you know, omen-themed music of snow falling lightly on your porch, which is all melted at this point. Okay. It's not going to stick around. It's not a blizzard. It was a few flakes. It was 80 degrees last week. I didn't see anyone saying, "Oh my God, will the summer never end?" You know, it's act like you've been there, okay? 952-946-6205. Speaking of being here, Gary is in Minneapolis. Gary, welcome on in. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, man, I was going to say, you know, there's a few elite billionaires, probably what you call the overclass also. They have most of the money now in the country. It's gotten worse and worse after 40 years of Reagan's Depression Hoover economics. And see, that right now I'm watching TV, that's what made me think of it. And that Medicare Advantage, the one where they stuck the insurance companies in there.
Yeah.
They tell you all they can do for it. They advertise all the time now. And they're pretty much, I'm afraid they're destroying the original Medicare because they took money out of original Medicare to give them insurance. And anybody who brains knows all that advertising, we got to pay for that. And so the ones that probably own the insurance company also own the media and own the oil. They got their money spread all over. It just...
Hey, Gary,
Gary,
you're watching TV. Here's what I want you to do, okay?
Yeah.
Flip over to the Game Show Network, okay? They've got some classic game shows on. That's good stuff. I think we all need to take a break this weekend after this insanity as we keep working towards this election. Try to find, let's find something else, okay, my buddy? All right?
Well, I do other things. I listen to your station. and I do art, you know. I'm doing art.
I know, and it's beautiful. Your art, you are truly a talented artist there, Gary, so... Thank you much. I appreciate the call, my friend.
Buddy.
Take care. Gary in Minneapolis. Just you know, if you know, yeah. I start, hey, let me go over to the Nature Channel. Hey, look. It's pandas. Who doesn't love pandas? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. All right, I might as well just get into the unbelievable ugliness to begin with. It's the Minnesota coronavirus update for today. Are you prepared? Because you might not be ready for this. I mean, I'm dead serious. This one kind of rocked me a little bit today. The Minnesota health officials reported a record-setting 2,297 new COVID-19 cases on Friday, the first time the state has surpassed a daily total of 2,000. And we didn't just kind of get past 2,000. We got almost 300 past 2,000. My God. Friday's case count is 50% higher than the last daily record of 1,516 cases. That was last Saturday. In the past, some unusually high daily numbers have included cases where reporting was delayed, but a Minnesota Department of Health spokesman on Friday said that record high case count includes few backlog cases. The number of tests reported in the state on Thursday were unusually high with 44,398 tests. That is more than double the 20,646 tests. Well, today is the 16th of October, right? Well, Donald Trump was in town in Duluth, up in Duluth, what, on the 30th of September? That'd be 2 weeks. Well, I'm wondering how much. I mean, I honestly think, I'm dead serious when I say this, I think this is just idiot Republican rallies, whether it's a Trump rally, whether that's a Republican candidate in Minnesota rally. I just think this is just idiot Republican rallies, and now the people are all starting to get sick. Health officials also said there were 13 additional deaths, six of those among residents of long-term care facilities in total. Minnesota has recorded 119,396 COVID cases, 2,212 deaths. Can I make a point about the deaths? We've made the point, they usually say, hey, I don't know why you're trying to downplay the fact that coronavirus is killing 70% of the people that it kills are over the age of 70. And, you know, that have been, have health issues. I mean, it's still a loss of life is a loss of life. But this would be the second day in a row, 13 additional deaths, six of those among residents of long-term care facilities. So that means over half of them weren't. What's the story there? Because this is the second day in a row where a large portion of the people who have passed away weren't in that quote-unquote susceptible category. It is leading me to be more than a little bit, concerned. Even with more testing, there are more cases to go undetected because of some forego-seeking testing or may not know they're infected because they don't have symptoms. Still, concern among public officials is the community spread can eventually be transmitted to those in long-term care facilities and medical conditions who make it more susceptible. Diabetes, obesity, heart disease, and chronic kidney disease are among the underlying cases that pose a risk. Over the past week, 314 people have been hospitalized with 57 requiring intensive care. Hospital admission reports can take a while to reach the health department, where the four admissions were initially reported on Thursday. That number has been restated to 51. The accelerated cases and community spread is a reminder that it only takes one contagious person to lead to an outbreak, said Minnesota Health Commissioner Jan Malcolm. Testing, and that person was Donald Trump. That's my guess. I mean, seriously, how many people in St. Louis County are in the surrounding area? Well, I can't say because these Republican loon balls that love to go visit Trump, they drive for hours. I mean, they could be from out of state. A lot of them probably were from out of state. They just travel around to try to follow the guy like it's the Grateful Dead, only the music really sucks. Maybe they misunderstood Grateful Dead. I don't know. They follow around Trump because, the music there. Plus the fact that the coronavirus super spreader events. Minnesota's proceeding with expanded COVID-19 saliva testing sites. The new sites will be open in Moorhead on Saturday and Brooklyn Park on Tuesday. Samples are being taken in Duluth, Winona, with plans for six more locations as well. It shouldn't be mentioned that this is not the only state having a lot of problems. Wisconsin reported more than 3,700 new cases on Thursday, shattering previous daily records of the state's health crisis, continued to soar to new heights unimpeated. The State Department of Health Services reported 3,747 new cases, nearly triple the number reported just 1 month ago. The seven-day average was the highest ever at 2,927. Deaths due to the virus rose by 17, bringing their death toll to 1,553. So to the guy, the conservative, who's like, yeah, suck on it, McNeil, because they don't have as many deaths as we do. Oh, touche. But yeah, they also have how many cases? 3,747 cases in a day? Oh, yeah, they're just doing stellar over there in Wisconsin. I loved how the Republicans in the state are far more furious at the governor for opening up a medical mash tent on the state fairgrounds to try to deal with these cases than they are about the amount of cases. They're livid. This is just political theater. No, it's not. My God, 3,700. Folks, this is going to get a lot worse, and I am not taking any joy. I am not taking any excitement about this. This is scary as all get go. I am at the point where so far we have not in my family gotten it. We've gotten, I know four people directly who have lost a family member to coronavirus. I'm very hopeful that we can get through this without getting it. But I mean, at this point, I'm just kind of, it's not so much will I as when will I? And I got to tell you the truth. It just scares me to death the way that you have these ignorant Republicans constantly saying, you don't need to wear a mask. You don't need a social distance. Or, God forbid, Jen Carnahan, Grand Canyon Carnahan, God forbid the Attorney General asked the farm where you're going to be having a massive rally with Eric Trump, boy, is that face going to be eaten or is it just for me? I do enjoy doing Eric Trump impressions. But God forbid, Jen, that the Attorney General say, hey, you guys are, you know, Typhoid Mary of political parties right now, so we're going to check to see how things are going to go during this get-together. Because once again, I want to point out something. It was a little more than 2 weeks ago that super spreader Trump came to Duluth. It's just a little more than 2 weeks ago. And now all of a sudden, more and more cases are exploding across the state. Dear Lord. Dear Lord, indeed. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Winter is approaching fast, meaning even more time inside. Let Zero Res ensure your home's hygiene for those long months indoors. Zero Res has a 4.9 Google star rating from over 9,300 satisfied customers. Don't trust anyone less experienced than Zero Res. When was the last time you even checked your air ducts? Is your home clean enough to support your health? If not, call Zero Res. Zero Res can clean up the grime, allergens, and dirt in your air ducts and home. Get 3 rooms pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized starting at just $149 when you call 952-ZERO-RES and mention AM950.
You know how it is with vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, then you throw them away, right? Well, not necessarily. Often, fixing your vacuum can be cheaper than replacing it. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum in Roseville? They offer free estimates. So if you wish your vacuum worked like new again, drop by. A1 Vacuum is ready to help clean up your vacuum cleaner act. Find us at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
Even though my kids are distance learning this school year, it feels like I'm driving them around far more than I ever have. That's why I'm glad I'm in my Toyota Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. The most comfortable vehicle I've ever driven, all the bells and whistles, and the safety I depend on. Whether I'm running to a soccer game or loading my bikes in for some weekend fun, the Sienna is the perfect vehicle for my family. Check one out yourself at RudyLutherToyota.com or test drive one today to see what I mean. Head over to Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Joe Biden debates Donald Trump for the final time on Thursday, October 22nd, and we'd love to have you join us for our debate-watching party at Crooner's Supper Club. We'll be indoors this time at Crooner's newly remodeled Dunsmore Room. It features tall windows that emit fresh air along with climate-controlled heating to make sure everyone stays safe and comfortable. And because of the indoor venue and safety precautions, tickets are limited and will go fast, so order them now at am950radio.com. Masks are required and tickets will only be sold in groups of 2 and 4. But if you'd like a single ticket, please call us at 952-946-8885. The debate starts at 8, but doors will open early, so come and enjoy a delicious dinner beforehand. Again, that's our presidential debate watch party on Thursday, October 22nd, in the Dunsmore Room at Crooner's Supper Club off Moore Lake and Highway 65. Tickets will not be available at the door, so order them now at am950radio.com.
AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I want to take a moment here to Blue Stem Prairie's got a story which I raised a little bit of a in the back of my noggin. Now, we've talked about Julie Buria. This is that wacko that's running up in District 6B that is like conspiracy corner. She is way out there. She's the endorsed Republican candidate for Minnesota House District 6B. She's a Mountain Iron city councilwoman. Centered her October 21st meet and greet at the Rink Sports Bar and Grill around support for law enforcement, urging sponsors and supporters to come meet Julie, back the blue, support law and order, and hear about public safety in Minnesota. Julie is the endorsed for the police, is endorsed by the Police and Peace Officers Association. Special guest for the event is Brian Johnson, a Cambridge Republican who's a minority lead on the Minnesota House Public Safety Committee. We're wondering if Buria will rebrand this event because there's been a little bit of a change here. The Mesabi Tribune had a story. Minnesota police group drops Buria over anti-Semitic comments, endorses Lisgard, the Democrat in House 6B race. Minnesota's largest police association has pulled its endorsement of Republican House 6B candidate Julie Buria, citing since removed social media posts considered to be anti-Semitic in nature. Brian Peters, executive director of the Minneapolis Police and Peace Officers Association, a group representing more than 10,000 law enforcement members statewide, emailed constituents on Wednesday informing them that the organization changing course effective immediately. The MPPOA board cannot stand behind a candidate who makes anti-Semitic comments of any kind, Peters wrote in an email obtained by the Mesabi Tribune. The board moved to endorse incumbent Democratic Senator Dave Lisgard, a supporter of public safety, and will continue to be a champion of protecting the rights of the men and women who wear the uniform. Buria was mired in controversy after a July social media post on her personal account used graphic Holocaust imagery and likened it to the state's coronavirus pandemic response, drawing sharp criticisms and admonishments from the Minnesota Jewish community and some leaders in the Iron Range community. The criticism only increased after Buria, a current Mountain City Iron counselor, told the council a week later that she was forced to apologize in a dramatic about-face that contradicted the Minnesota GOP statement expressing her regret and sincere apology over the post. Buria has also been linked to QAnon, a group of nutbags spreading conspiracy theories. She told the Associated Press, "Have I looked at it? Yes. Do I believe all of it? No, but I'm really sure what to think about that." Sure. The Minnesota GOP party leaders in the Minnesota legislature are and regionally based Republicans, including Congressman Pete Stauber, a former Duluth police officer, as well as groups representing St. Louis County and the 8th District, declined comment on Buria's reversal and continue to promote her as the party's endorsed candidate. Buria's reaction, there really is only one candidate in the race who will support the law enforcement and first responders, Buria said in a statement late Thursday night. My opponent joined his Metro Democratic colleagues in voting to allow cities to defund the police. No, they didn't. And even voted to allow liberal cities to disarm officers in good standing. What? Democrats have proven time and again that they stand with the riders, not the police who keep us safe. Yeah, tell that to George Floyd, by the way. Yeah. Whatever her opinion about opponent might be under a Minnesota campaign law, one can't claim to be an endorsement, doesn't want one to have. So it'll be interesting to see if she basically has to redo this appointment. Also, Johnson, who's supposed to be here at this event, has not made a comment. So, of course, she's going to go push this. But can I make something? There is something about this that really bothers me. Okay. The Minneapolis Police and Peace Officers Association, that's the group here that represents the police officers. When the one DFLer made the mistake, went to Bob Kroll's house, the union head for the Minneapolis Police Department, went there in Hugo and made the bad comments and did the piñatas, that was bad taste. There was immediate condemnation from Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association, as well as other numerous police officer groups. And not only was there immediate condemnation, but anyone closely associated in any capacity with that candidate were quickly admonished and told, well, we're going to pull our support for you if you do it. It wasn't a long time. It was a matter of days, if not for hours, that the police officers' unions and these organizations came on down and quickly condemned this, which is fine, and I very much. It was stupid. We've said it here. The first time I brought up Buria, Julie Buria, was August 5th. I went back and looked. It was August 5th, 2.5 months ago, when we were talking about Julie Buria. 2.5 months ago, we had pointed out her anti-Semitic behavior. How in the hell does it take the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association 2.5 months to distance themselves from an anti-Semite? Seriously. How in the hell did it take you 2.5 months to, well, I guess we're going to put our foot down now. Foot down. Okay, after 2.5 months of deliberation, we're going to pull our endorsement of the anti-Semitic candidate, Julia Beria. Julie Beria. It took you 2.5 months. It took you seconds when a Democrat said something you didn't like. But someone makes an anti-Semitic comment and it takes you 2.5 months to say, okay, fine. God. Wow. No, wow. That is not, okay, just for the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association, that is not exactly record pace. And let me try it here. I find out someone I know is anti-Semitic. I don't like you. I don't want anything to do with you. Done. And scene. It took you 2.5 months. What were you debating here? But there is something that has actually popped into my mind about why they might have revisited this endorsement. Because there's some math I'm going to do for you here in just a few minutes, which might point to what the police union, police department, the police association's real motivation is here. I'll get to that in a second. And by the way, I don't have any, do I doubt that these people are not endorsing her anymore because of her anti-Semitic behavior? No, of course. I mean, I would have hoped you would have done this back, I don't know, August 6th, August 7th. Really? Did you have to kick it around? Did you have to, you know, form focus groups? What were you doing? But I have no reason to disbelieve that these people are now pulling their approval because of the anti-Semitic nature. I don't have anything there. But I'm wondering if something else might be also going on. Let's get Mike in Columbia Heights in here before we get into the break, because I got to do Matt's Math Corner when I do come on back, okay? Mike, Columbia Heights, welcome on in.
Matt, I just got a flyer from Lacey Johnson, who is Ilhan Omar's competitor in this district. And this is what the flyer says: stop the hate. Ilhan Omar, a record of anti-Semitism, supported by Klan leader David Duke, named anti-Semite of the year, condemned by bipartisan House leaders. Now, when I heard her say that statement about the Benjamins and stuff, she was just referring to the fact that the Republicans get a lot of money from the Jewish community. It wasn't meant to be an anti-Semite slur. At least that's the way I understood it. But she should sue this guy. This guy, I wish he'd come to my door. No such luck, though.
Well, okay, no, Mike, no. The truth is this: what did he just got you to do, Mike? He just got you to call a radio station and talk about the flyer. Ignore him. I mean, especially David Duke. That sounds like a bad cable TV show. You know, we're going to put two people together and we'll see what happens. Ilhan Omar and David Duke. Okay. Dude, just toss the stuff. I know it makes you mad, but you know what makes me madder? You taking a high-end cardboard 4-ink process print ad, which costs them a ton of money to make and send out, and throwing it in the garbage can and saying, done. 952-946-6205. So when I come back, Matt's Math Corner, and trust me, you want to stick around for this, because this is actually, I got a little ray of sunshine for you on your Friday, okay? It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Are you ready, boy? Here I come.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than just serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable. Serving part-time lets you attend school full-time while you take advantage of education benefits that can help you graduate debt-free. If a civilian career is your goal, serving part-time allows you to work at a full-time job. The skills, qualities, and contacts you'll develop in the Guard can open doors to a great civilian career. Want to serve but worried about being away from friends and family? Part-time service in the Army National Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want while you enjoy the many benefits of serving your community and nation. You owe it to yourself to learn more about how the Army National Guard can fit into your life. Visit NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, I'm Alicia Luther-Toms, Certified Financial Planner with RBC Wealth Management. You might think you have to give up performance to invest responsibly, but that simply isn't true. Responsible investing can actually have a positive impact on performance. We will work with you to come up with a strategy that matches your values. This is Alicia Luther-Toms at 612-770-4460 or alicia.luther.toms@rbc.com.
RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Cafe Latte folks over Victorian Grand in St. Paul. Fantastic pizza. They've got as well food to go. Go get some food over there. Go get the t-shirt. Go buy a gift card. Help them out. Victorian Grand in St. Paul. It's Cafe Latte, the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. So we have seen a few things which have set off alarm bells for me as we get closer to the election. You've got a few Republicans desperately who've been, let's not mixed words here, who have been lapdogs for Trump, who are suddenly all, you know, I've always had a lot of problems with Donald Trump. I can't just keep my mouth shut anymore. I've got to speak out. You also have as well, I mean, we talked about Jennifer Carnahan and her epic Twitter meltdown she had yesterday. That was kind of like, okay, what's going on here? And on top of it, we've seen numerous Republicans, unapologetic far-right loon balls, who have all of a sudden saying, hey, who doesn't think I'm for the environment? Hey, who doesn't think that I'm for a cheaper healthcare system? Let's pass the bonding bill. Bonding bills are great. Let's do that. So there's enough going on right now that I'm starting to wonder, okay, and most of the time, just politically, what's going on is they've got numbers which show things are really, really bad for them in an election. And it goes the other way, too. I've had candidates when a Democrat is struggling, all of a sudden frantically call me up and say, a person who might have kind of pushed away because they didn't want to seem too progressive during the entire campaign, when they know they're about to get beaten badly, all of a sudden it's like, hey, Matt, I want to talk to – I'm a progressive again. Hey, isn't that great? I mean, it happens. It does happen. You know, you can kind of see what's going on. That's not happening this year. That is not happening this year. I can tell you that. Minnesota Reformer has a story here, and it's just an update story on the amount of early voting going on in the state of Minnesota. Minnesota voters, long known for their fidelity to the ballot box, are getting extra credit in 2020. The pandemic drove a record number of Minnesotans to request absentee ballots. As of Friday, nearly 1.7 million ballots had been requested. Of those, 911,385 ballots have already been returned and accepted, according to new figures. Wow. Well, I said, wow, read the tweet from Steve Simon, the state's election official. Simon said at this point in 2016, about 366,000 people had voted by mail. So it were three times as many people at this point. In 2016, the estimated number of eligible voters in Minnesota was 3,972,330, meaning nearly one in four Minnesota voters have likely already voted this year. The election is less than 3 weeks away and will prove consequential. So that's when I started rolling around the number. Now, once again, the number quoted here in the Minnesota Reformer story is the estimated number of eligible voters in 2016 was $3,972,330. It also says, so far, we have 900,011 ballots that have already been turned. Basically, about a quarter of the eligible voters in the state of Minnesota have already returned their ballots. So then the question is, okay, just because the estimated number or the eligible voter count was 3,972,330 in 2016, doesn't mean that many people voted. So I went out, time for Matt's Math Corner. Da, 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 da. Oh, for goodness sakes. All right, Matt's Math Corner. So what I found out was we led the nation in 2016, Patrick. We led the nation. 75% of eligible voters in Minnesota voted. 75%. So let's see here. I'm going to round down a little bit here just to make this a little bit easier. 3,972,000. 3,972,000 times 0.75 equals total number of people who voted then roundly is 2,979,000 people. All right, make sense? That's taking the number of 3,972 eligible voters in the state of Minnesota, filtering it through the 75%, which led the country in the amount of voters in 2016. That gets us to 2,979,000. Well, we're pretty much a third of the way there already, which is insane. So, and let's talk a little bit about elections if we can. Trust me when I say the vast majority of conservatives vote. Of that 25% of the eligible voters in Minnesota that did not vote in 2016, I'm going to peg that the vast majority of them were people that agreed one way or the other with more Democratic slash progressive policies. They sat it out. They didn't like Hillary Clinton. They didn't believe in voting. They were too busy playing a video game, whatever the case may be. So that 25% of the population who did not vote in 2016, the majority of them are probably Democrats, and that's the system the Republicans have. They know their voters show up. So they already know that the vast majority of voters for them are going to show up no matter what. And this is why I keep going back to when I say, you know, Trump won 61 million votes in 2016. Expect him to win 61 million votes again in 2020. That's what happens. But when you start factoring in that already a third of the people, nearly a third of the people who voted in 2016 have already voted. It is October 16th right now. Well, all of a sudden, the question came to my mind. Do we know how many of those ballots that are being requested and returned are running Democrat versus Republican? Business Insider has a story that says so far, 56% of the ballots that have been requested turned in have been coming from Democratic, not, you know, Democratic, or I should say being requested are coming from Democrats, not turned in. I'm not sure exactly. You don't know who's turning them in. I don't think that that's known until Election Day. Well, and there's no way to individually track that. But the people that are requesting them, 56% are leaning Democrat. 24% are Republican and 20% are leading independent. Let me repeat those numbers again. Of the people requesting ballots, voting early, 56% are Democrats. 24% are Republicans. You're already 2-for-1-ing them on that alone. So the question then comes to my mind is, if these numbers from Business Insider match up, what does it tell us about the amount of votes that are already coming in, what we can expect from the other early votes going to be coming on in, and where are the Republicans going to be on Election Day? What kind of returns do they need to be seeing? Well, let's go back to the 911,000 people that have turned in their votes. Well, now of the people, the 20% who have requested a ballot that have not made up their mind, We have to do something with those numbers just because, you know, they're not going to vote independent. So I, even though that Biden is leading overwhelmingly with independent voters, I'm going to give the Republicans a mulligan. I'll give you a mulligan. We'll just split that 20-50-50. That would get the Democrats' numbers up to 66% and the Republican numbers up to 34%. All right? See how I did that? All right, makes sense. And once again, there is nothing that hints that this that would be the case. Once again, Biden is overwhelmingly the favorite for independent voters or uncommitted voters, undecided voters as of right now. But I'll just give you the mulligan. We'll just split it evenly. 66% then of these early ballot requests will end up being Democrat. 34% will end up being Republican. Well, of that first million votes that have come in, that means 660,000 votes have gone for the Democrats and 340,000 have gone for the Republicans. The story, once again, going back to the Minnesota Reformer story, they said they're at 1.7 million ballots requested. That means there's another, and we're, 2 weeks out, so the people that can vote in person absentee, that they can still take advantage of that. Let's just presume, because the way this is going, it's going to get there, that that number stays true. We get up to 2 million. 2 million people request and return in their early ballot. So that would then get us to one. Matt's math corner is hard. Okay. 2 times 6 or so equals. All right. So that gets us up to 1,320,000 votes for Democrats, DFLers, 680,000 votes for the Republicans. So, once again, I want to make sure I get to a point where you understand where I'm coming from here. We know from the Minnesota Reformer story, 911,000 ballots have already been returned. 1.7 million ballots have been requested as of right now. We're going to presume that just with in-person voting absentee, that that's going to continue to go up. We'll get up to 2 million, all right? We are also got from the Business Insider story that basically it's 56% of the ballots requested are DFLers, 24 are Democrats, 24% are Republicans, 20% undecided. So we're going to split the undecideds 50-50, which really is generous for the Republicans. That gets us to a 66-34 split on early ballots. And so then if we just look at Minnesota and if those numbers ring true, that means if we get to Election Day and we've had 2 million people in the state vote, that the Democrats, the DFLers, will already have a 1,320 vote advantage versus an 680,000 vote advantage. Let me do that again because I'm an idiot. 1,320,000 votes for the Democrats, 680,000 votes for the Republicans, which means they're about 600,000 votes in the hole. Wow. A little bit more, actually. 640,000 votes in the hole. So, that would mean there's about another million or so people who voted in 2016 that still have yet to vote on Election Day. Do you see how I got to that point? So, what would the Republicans have to do if we still stay at 75% participation rate on Election Day to overcome that number? Now, you'd say to yourself, well, Matt, how difficult would this be? It's, you know, it's 600,000. They just need to get 600,000 votes. No. The margin is 640,000 votes. They would need somewhere in the area of the last million, of the last million people voting on Election Day. The Republicans would need somewhere around an 830,000 votes to 170,000 votes margin just to overcome the early voting margin. They would have to basically have 8 out of every 10 votes on Election Day in person to offset the hole that they are in. Let me tell you for the fact, that ain't going to happen. They're not even, they might get 60-40, but they're not going to get nearly enough to overcome the margins that they're already in. That's also not factoring, you know, if they would get half of the undecided voters that have got these absentee ballots. If that we only stay at 75% of the voting population voting. If, what happens if all of a sudden another 15%, mostly Democrats, get into that fray? Oh my God. The reason why I think you're seeing Republicans freak out is they're doing the math I just did. They're just doing the math I just did. And they're realizing, oh my God, this might not be a bad year. This might be historically bad, as bad as 1930, bad as 1932. It might be one of the worst years for a political party, especially an incumbent political party, in the history of this country. This is great for the DFL. Oh my God, love it. Do not take what I am saying here as some sort of hint that you do not have to vote. For God's sakes, no. We need to keep the pressure on. We need to put the gas down and keep this motor humming. We need to get everyone voting, whether that's taking advantage of the early options that are still on the table or voting in person on election day. Everyone votes. This is by no means a cop-out. You have got to do your part. Because I can tell you right now, if we let up at all, they'll have a window to make this not as bad. If we let up at all, this is the biggest political fight of our generation. I'm 52 years old. Start on Monday, I turn 52. On Monday, I turn 52. I have never been involved in anything so serious and so unbelievably important as this election is. Make sure everyone you know votes. If you're not registered to vote, if you still haven't done it, go to mnvotes.org. It's a piece of cake. You can find out where you vote in person. You can find out what early options you still have on the table. A lot of city halls, you can still vote absentee in person. So find out. Get to voting. Call your friends. Make sure they're voting. Help out those Democrats, the DFLers who are running. Help them out. Because if these numbers play out, there's a reason why Jennifer Carnahan had a Twitter meltdown. There's a reason why that police association is probably frantically looking for Democrats to start backing, because they realize, oh my God, we do not want to be aligned with the party that's about to become a super minority. I think that's a lot of what's going on. Is I'm not smart. And if you were able to follow along on Matt's Math Corner as I did, which showing that right now there is a massive deficit already for the Republicans, that they are likely not going to be able, they're already going to have all their voters, they're already counting them. They're not going to be able to overcome this if we all continue to vote. If I can do it, they sure as heck can too, and would explain a lot of their behavior lately. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I love it when people who have never had to be empathetic and moderate all of a sudden, hey guys, I care about you. That's funny. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. I'll
tell you a story. Joe Biden debates Donald Trump for the final time on Thursday, October 22nd, and we'd love to have you join us for our debate-watching party at Crooner's Supper Club. We'll be indoors this time at Crooner's newly remodeled Dunsmore Room. It features tall windows that emit fresh air, along with climate-controlled heating to make sure everyone stays safe and comfortable. And because of the indoor venue and safety precautions, tickets are limited and will go fast, so order them now at am950radio.com. Masks are required and tickets will only be sold in groups of 2 and 4. But if you'd like a single ticket, please call us at 952-946-8885. The debate starts at 8, but doors will open early, so come and enjoy a delicious dinner beforehand. Again, that's our presidential debate watch party on Thursday, October 22nd, in the Dunsmore Room at Crooner's Supper Club off Moore Lake and Highway 65. Tickets will not be available at the door, so order them now at am950radio.com.
Wow, if they go in, I mean, my God. If they have to, if their numbers are showing they have to go in on Election Day, and of the remaining 2 million eligible voters, 1 million likely voters, they need to pull down a margin of somewhere around 800,000 to 200,000. That's not going to, this isn't Wyoming. Okay, this isn't Idaho. You're not going to, those numbers, you're not going to pull those numbers off. You're just not going to pull those numbers off. And right now, like I said, I'm just reading the numbers off these stories. Minnesota Reformer story, the Business Insider story. I'll post all these stories. And then just doing the math. And if you just do the math, you realize, oh my God, this is the reason why police associations are all of a sudden frantically trying to get rid of the most fringe Republicans off their docket and are trying to endorse the Democrat in that race. This is why Jennifer Carnahan is having a meltdown. This is why the bonding bill got passed. This is why Ben Sasse, the senator, is all of a sudden basically, he's looking at, trying to find some way to break from Trump. Because they realize, not many people like Trump. And it's permeating down the line. Vote, vote, vote. Vote, 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 vote. Leaving you with one of my favorites of all time. Rush, it's Tom Sawyer. Have a good one. We're back on a Monday. Until then, see ya.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean.